Morning, folks. This is Scott, your host at Sharing the Burden. We're live at 102.9 FM, whistlefm.com, formerly Whistle Radio. Sharing the Burden believes in life recovery. We are a life recovery group, and we follow the 12 steps of sharing the burden to support the hurting. All are welcome at our meetings. We hold weekly meetings in several locations. Check out sharingtheburden.ca to find the meeting closest to you, or start your own. And we need one in Stouffville soon. And we're back with Raj. Raj, welcome back.
Thank you.
I don't know how long it's been, but it's been... I don't know if it's been long enough for you to tell us anything that's different or what, but as you know, we're focusing on this sixth element of our program, which basically talks about being ready to let go of the defects of character, the things we don't like about ourselves. You know, we've spent some time doing moral inventories, etc. And now, hopefully, you know, with the help of sponsors, if we use them, other people in our different programs, people in our lives, spiritual people, we come to a place where we know we've got to really let go. And I think there's an art to letting go. You were talking a little bit about before the show about, you know, the problem sometimes is just being able to let stuff go, you know, even though you know it's wrong, it's letting it go. It's how can I let go of this sense of wanting some control over some situation in the knowledge that I really have no control over very much in this life, and I better get, you know, ready to accept anything that goes sideways. But what's your take on, you know, letting things go? Because you did mention something, having a problem in that area or something.
Well, after all, I'm a human. You haven't noticed it.
Yeah, that's
always
true.
There's always the negative aspect of, especially a recovering alcoholic, where they want to hold on to something. It's not letting go completely. And that's, honestly, that's where I struggle at times. But over these past months on my journey, I have let go on a lot of things. But there are things that keep coming back, you know, and it is the way I deal with it. If I want to stay in that negative stupor and stay in the negative frame of mind, then obviously I'm not going to let go of it. It's that slogan, let go and let God.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But how do you do it?
Sometimes it's hard because it's having that faith, you know. Mm-hmm. Sometimes that faith is dwindling. It's not dwindling, like, because you don't see something, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah,
it's hard to have that faith that, oh, there is a God out there.
Yeah.
I mean, I know there is a God. Otherwise, I wouldn't have been clean and sober till now. And I really enjoy life the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they say you have to lose some to gain something.
Yeah.
And that's the way my life is.
Yeah.
But it's always, you know, as a human, it's always a work in progress.
Would you say, though, what the loss is always, like, our false sense of control anyway, that we had and we carried around? And
yes.
Yeah,
definitely.
I think that, too, because it comes to a point where, you know, we'll talk about people in our lives, whether it's, you know, kids or exes or present ones or whatever our situation. It seems that to the degree we're not able to control what goes on in those lives, you know, to that degree we lose our sense of, you know, whether it's emotional sobriety or physical sobriety from a substance abuse or whatever, it seems that to that degree it's almost like a, you know, like a seesaw. If I'm up here, I'm down here. If I'm down here, I'm up here. So so to the degree we learn how to find something that allows us to let go, you know, I mean, how do we do it? You know, I use kind of like a meditation, and whenever I'm emotional of any, you know, in any way, good, bad, indifferent, if my emotions are working, I try not to take part in things. You know, I use that stop sign in our bunch of slogans, and that tells me, Scott, back off, because whatever you do is going to be influenced by where you are emotionally, and that being the case, it's not going to be the truth. It's going to be, you know, whether it's your anger or your excitement or whatever, it's not going to be absolutely real. It's not going to come from that even keel situation that I have to make my decisions from. So how am I not going to, you know, want to hold on like that? And for me, it's the meditation we've talked about many times. You know, like thoughts keep coming at you, you know, and we know that they just keep coming, but they don't do anything much unless we grab onto them and start talking to them or thinking about them. It's like, you know, the little boats on the stream, and we look at them, we see what they are. They're all the little thoughts, and they meander on, and they always will. They'll just keep going. They won't stop until we stop one, you know. And, well, that's a good one. Let's grab that. And as you grab that, you stop seeing the other ones going by, and that creates a little bit of confusion. And next thing you know, you want to, you know, there's one, you know, it's almost gone. You want to pull it back so you can have a look at that after this one. Then there's another one. And the first thing, you know, you're pushing maybe some to the side, and you know, all of a sudden there's 25 thoughts that need attention, and they're damming up the stream, and all the other ones are getting stuck behind them, you know. So it's a case of, so how do I stop this? Like, I've got to throw all the other ones back in and leave them go, and know that they only affect me to the degree I grab it, look at it, think about it, you know, mull over it and all this kind of stuff. Those are the things that affect me. But if I don't grab them, they don't affect me. Like, and they don't affect anybody because they keep moving. It's only when I stop the movement that I'm in trouble. So learning that art of letting go is much harder than it sounds too. It's even if you know, do Eastern forms of meditation and you close your eyes and you just practice letting go, and you know, maybe you use something like Om or some sort of mantra or whatever, you know, Jesus maybe if you're Christian, whatever you use to bring you back to the fact that you're exhibiting your art of letting go, you're demonstrating your art of letting go to yourself, and the only thing this mantra or whatever does is reminds you you're doing that. So every time you need to turn that into a habit. So my habit is, if I grab a thought, I'm supposed to be meditating, and you know, back to Om or whatever it is that puts me back on track, and then I'm back into my meditation, which allows the stream to keep moving with the thought. So, you know, that's what I do, and it works. But it's like anything else. If I didn't do the stop thing in the very initial stages of my emotional uprise, it's too late. I don't have much time, so it's, and with me, it's anger. I get angry at things, you know, like if things don't work right, I get angry, and that's what I have to do. I have to, you know, that anger is a, you know, a sense too. It's a thought. I just gotta let it go and move on and realize that, Sky, you learned when you came around these programs that you were pretty much powerless unless there was a spiritual source that gave you a hand, and that might be a hand by putting someone in my life with a bigger brain than mine at the time, or somebody with more info in an area. That person might give me what I need to move on, but I always had to look up. I had to look to something spiritual to get me out of the moment, you know, and that's what I do. What do you do?
You have become a long way in the world of spirituality when it comes with your connections with God. I'm just starting to learn to understand what God is. Mm. Of course, I know God has been a part of my life, but more important, I think, when he said controlling people is controlling people, places, and things, mm-hmm. I realize now that when I do that, I didn't have any purpose in my own life. I lack purpose. And that's the reason why I shifted the center of attraction from me down to people and other things. Excuse me. And that's when my life started to go sideways. And when things didn't want to go my way, or when, you know, I would have roadblocks or, you know, hurdles, what I would do is I had to find an artificial crutch to, you know, feel better, feel happy, feel powerful. And I found that in the form of alcohol, thinking that, yes, it's going to take my pain away. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, as time went by, it just made matters worse and worse and worse. Mm-hmm. Where it came to a point where, irrespective of how much I drank, nothing happened. It was just that 5-minute pleasure for the first 5 minutes. And then after that, life just went back to being the same old style, you know, I mean, pain and misery. today the way I look at it is I do it one day at a time. I got to remind myself where I've come from. The first step, you know, how unmanageable my life was. Mm-hmm. Do I want that unmanageability back in my life? No, I do not want that. So let's do the good, right things. Mm-hmm. Follow the scripture, go to meetings, talk to positive people, and keep an open mind. I think the more important thing I always try and practice this is not being judgmental and practicing humility. Yeah. It's not easy. Huge. Trust me. No, it is not easy when you have people around you. Yeah, but then you got to remind myself, you know, what if I was in their place? What would I have done differently?
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's a learning process. It's a learning curve because I'm trying to evolve. I'm trying to learn much more about myself, how God made me, right?
Yeah.
Because I have understood something that whatever has happened till today, it's happened for a particular reason. God put all these things in my life for me to learn something.
Mm-hmm.
And because he has a purpose for everyone in his life, he doesn't make something or he doesn't produce something that's useless because he's God. Right?
That's right.
Yeah.
I believe that anyway.
Yeah.
Some may not.
Why would he want to make something that is useless? He's always made something that has got a purpose and it does have a meaning in life.
Yeah.
The same thing he's done with me.
Yeah.
So let's accept that.
Yeah.
And I tend to accept that and move on. Yes, there are days when I feel really pissed off at him. You know, I wish sometimes he was a man I could punch him out, but no, he's not. There are times where I could, you know, turn back the clock. I mean, you know, I wish my dad had this kind of sobriety.
Yeah.
It would have made a much, much big difference to him and his life, but unfortunately, no. So today I carry on his life.
You carry the legacy, but you also have the ability to break the chain, I think, of what you're doing. And that's, you know, that's the reality. That's the good part of it. And, you know, your sons won't have to say the same things you have to say about your dad. So, but now that you don't drink, when you come against something, and I know one day at a time is, you know, you got to remember that. But like in the immediate moment when you're hit with something, you know, like you were saying this morning when we got together, just when we walked in here, you know, I still gotta. So what do you do now though? Like in the moment, I mean, you expressed it. I mean, I think that's number one, like to somebody or to something, you know, as well as your God, if that's, you know, if that's the route you go. And by the way, people out there, if you don't have a God, either we'll lend you one or we'll welcome anyway. But we want you to know that there's no qualification in our program, and hopefully in any of the whole 12-step philosophy. Unfortunately, it seems that many need a qualification, you know, and that's the way it began and that's the way it worked. But we've decided to open it up, and really, you know, if you feel you need support, we want to be there for you, you know, whether you're top of the road in your game or, you know, CEO or, you know, bottom of the list, or whether you're, you know, in jail. And we don't care what you do. We care about who you are, and we want to support you. And as Raj said, in the fact that we don't believe anyone was created for no purpose. So we all have it. Some of us doesn't show up till late in life, possibly, but we just got to hang in there in the knowledge that we're here for something, and, you know, it'll bloom. And you know what? Some people, I think, maybe never even realize necessarily what their purpose was, but it's seen by others. And sometimes I think maybe that social aspect is a little more important than we think. You know, I grew up as a loner kind of thing, and I think you were sort of that way, weren't you, earlier on? And it's hard for me to mix and, you know, have a good time with people. I've got to force myself because I'm much more comfortable on my own. So anyway, lots to move and lots to learn. I think with those thoughts and Raj, whatever you want to come back at me with in that respect, let's hang in there and take a quick break. So I'm Scott at 102.9 FM. Here we're on Sharing the Burden, live every Tuesday morning, 10 a.m., and we'll be back shortly.